Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this week's episode, we have another positive birth story for you. I know how much you guys love birth stories. So we have Shantice with us coming on to share her story. As always, get yourself comfortable and enjoy. Shantice, it's lovely to see you. Tell us, why have you come on the podcast to share your story?
Hi, Poppy. Hello. Thank you for having me. Lovely to see you as well. And I am here to share my story to inspire on this journey of healing from a traumatic birth to a healing birth. I done a lot of work and I saw many people like me, but our stories are so different, but very similar. And I think it's really important for women to hear stories like this so that they know it's possible, especially after having a C-section, that it's possible to have a VBAC, HBAC or FBAC. It truly is. Yeah.
Wow. And I am going to reshare the little clip from your birth, which literally gave me like shivers. I can't wait to get into your story and hear all about it because it looked amazing. And as you know, I'm preparing now for the next birth. So for me, like it hits differently when you're pregnant because you're kind of looking for that inspiration and that hope, which is a lovely word. So why don't you begin and tell us your story? It's so beautiful that your daughter's with you, by the way. If you hear any suckling, guys, this is a real podcast with real women, real babies. So, tell us your story.
Yeah, my birth, especially this birth, was so different. And my first birth with my son, I have a little boy, was very different. I would say the pregnancy in itself was actually just fine. I had a really simple, just low risk, happy. I was doing a lot whilst I was pregnant with him, and it felt like as soon as my waters broke, that's where I guess the lows of the things kind of came. I didn't know anything about birth, and I can say this with my hands up, I didn't know anything about birth when I had my son. So there was a lot of things, I guess, I was hearing from other people. There was also fear there as well. There was moments that I was overthinking his birth, thinking what's going to happen. And I didn't have boundaries throughout, that whole more of the labor. So I had him in a hospital and I actually ended up having a C-section. And I said I had an unnecessary C-section because, on this journey of healing and understanding that birth and putting the pieces together, doing therapy, doing healing, I now recognize and understand that I didn't have to have it, but I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. And I feel like at that moment, at that time, I had to go through it. I had to go through that journey, through that passage to get where I am today. Although his birth was so beautiful, it was amazing. I had such a great connection with him from the day he was born. It was a really hard birth and labor. Postpartum as well was very difficult, losing your mobility. I'm a very active person. So for me, it was really difficult to not be able to do just the basics, didn't get to change my son's first meconium poo. I struggled breastfeeding, which was really hard in the beginning. There was just a lot of things that made that time really difficult. And I guess as he was getting older, and I guess I was understanding myself as a mother, my role, I felt like something was wrong. There was actually a period where I was really doubting myself. I feel like especially when you have a C-section and you tell people that you had a C-section, a lot of the times it's never positive. And, people have C-sections for emergencies when they're needed, because interventions are only needed when it's actually an emergency. And also it's people's choice. Everyone has a choice to decide how they want to give birth. But I felt every time I shared my birth, it was just really very negative. And I remember it always used to make me feel very just like empty inside and feel like, did I kind of achieve anything? Am I a failure? Especially the way I gave birth. And it made me question myself. I started to doubt my body. I started to doubt myself and say to myself, am I actually able to give birth? And there was actually one major comment from a family member, of course, who said that maybe my pelvis was too small. And I remember that comment really sticked out for me on my journey. And it was like I woke up one day and I said, no, something is not right there. I need to like dig deep and understand why I needed to have this C-section. So I literally went on a, I don't even know if it was a hunt, but I guess at that time, God was watching me and saying, I'm going to put people in front of you who know about birth, who understand birth, and those that you can, I guess, talk with and get some really the best support, you know. So I actually found the one of the first people that I found was the amazing Kemi Johnson. And even to this day, I'm like, I actually can't remember how I saw Kemi's profile, but I think it was from someone else. And yeah, saw her actually just talking about physiological birth. And I'm thinking, what is this? And I guess I just went deep in that hole and just really was like, wow, you know, like birth truly does work. And seeing loads of videos, understanding birth. And then I actually eventually got to understand VBACs, because as well, this was my first time giving birth. So I never really heard of the term VBAC and what it is. So I was like, okay, so if I was to have another baby, I can, like, it's possible, there is a way. So I spent about, I would say maybe 2 years just on a deep dive of healing, especially from a traumatic birth. I was on the journey of healing already, but this was something I've never done. There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of questioning for myself. I also done therapy as well that helped me, gosh, just release. That helped me release my trauma that I was holding on. And again, a lot of the words and the feelings that I guess others made me feel about my birth, I had to let go of. And on that journey, I discovered that I'm actually amazing. My body's not broken. Using the power of visualization, you know, this birth with my daughter, I saw it 2 years ago. That's the crazy thing. I've seen this birth for so long, but obviously I wasn't pregnant at the time. Wasn't also thinking, just was, I wanted to start this journey before I had another baby. And yeah, that's where it kind of began. So my son really healed me in a beautiful way. And again, I'm grateful for that experience, because again, I had to go through that birth to get the birth that I wanted and I knew my body could do. And grace as well, curses, because birth within my family, and maybe a lot of people can relate, I didn't hear a lot of positive birth stories. It was very, very negative. And again, going through that deep hole and finding people online, especially like yourself, Pop That Mama, it was like, wow, birth actually works. And we've been told a lie, you know? And I think that's the beautiful thing of like this journey. When you do discover new things and understand, it's like, you know, you're not broken. And for me, having my daughter just, taught me that I'm really not broken. No one is. We are not broken, because birth is physiological and birth truly works. So wow.
God, talk about start with a bang. We're 5 minutes in and there's so much. I feel like we could do a whole podcast on that intro only. But what really stood out to me is the fact that you started preparing before the second pregnancy and you did a lot of healing work. And I think that's a real important message for people to hear and remember, because we don't know what's going to happen with this birth and when we're going to have that, you know. And I also think that something that I talk about in Birth Box, which you would have heard about, especially on that final audio where I give you like a final kind of good luck and goodbye and final message, I talk about how life makes sense backwards. And you know, you've just kind of illustrated a big point that I try and make, which is that if you go and have a challenging birth, and by no means you want to seek this out, you don't want to seek it out, but if it happens to you, it will make sense afterwards and you will grow through it and it will be a challenge, but there will be something on the other side waiting for you. So that's really empowering to listen to, because I'm getting the sense that you wouldn't take that first birth back.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So what, because you said that the cesarean was unnecessary. What do you mean by that? Obviously I know, but I want you to explain.
Yeah, of course. So for me, even when I remember when I discovered, like, I really didn't have to have this. So the crazy thing is as well, I actually don't remember half of my birth. And I say this to a lot of people because I truly don't, because I had so much like things in me that just numbed me. And my memory was really gone. Luckily, the only way I got to see my birth was from my fiance filming it. So from that, I was able to see, and I guess on the healing journey, understanding why a lot of emergency C-sections happen. You know, for me, when we are in, you know, hospital spaces, we are on a time. And for me, especially when you don't know your rights, which I didn't, sometimes it can be very hard to put your foot down and put your boundaries up, especially when you just don't know. So for me, it was like, went to the hospital, was in there for, I think, 3 days. And yeah, I was on the clock, I was on a watch. I wouldn't even say I was really cared for. It was more just a midwife in there on the computer. No one really motivating me to move. No one saying, try this. Just like, very like, okay, a loads of noise. It just wasn't, it wasn't encouraged. A lot of things that I've learned about birth wasn't encouraged in that setting. And like I said, when you are in that environment, you're on a watch, you're on a time. So a lot of the times they will force, you know, maybe we should have a C-section because baby isn't here yet, baby's heart rate. But it's literally just, you know, I'm sitting on a bed, I haven't moved for hours or days, I haven't eaten, my energy's low, I don't have the right hormones, oxytocin is not flowing. There's just a range. And I guess I had to also forgive myself for that, because, you know, I do go back and no regrets, but I had to go through that and understand it happened, but it was unnecessary because my body wasn't broken, you know. And I always think, if I'd done things different, my birth would be so different. But it happened. That happened for a reason. It happened for a reason, you know. So yeah.
Well, so let's hear it. Let's start with the story of the birth of your daughter.
So her birth. So I went, full term, 40 weeks. So she actually came the day after her guest dates. And again, didn't care about guest day because it's just a day. Whenever the baby came, she would come. So I would say 2 weeks prior to her being born, I was having all of the signals that I had just before I had went into labor with my son. I had a little bit of a cold. I was going to the toilet a lot of weeing. I was getting very fatigued, very tired, very hungry as well. So I kind of felt like, and nesting, I kind of felt like something was happening. So I would say that week, my Braxton Hicks, I actually got Braxton Hicks a little bit earlier in this pregnancy. My Braxton Hicks were, a lot of tightening. I also felt my belly dropping like weeks prior. So I knew the wheels were kind of rolling. So that week, actually, I just took it slow. I done a lot of visualization, a lot of trust in myself because I don't know what it is, but I could just feel that this baby was coming. And because obviously the birth that I wanted, it was just, I was just kind of manifesting and resting as well. A lot of rest and also looking after my 3-year-old. Very, very hard, but I managed to do it. And I'm proud of myself till this day. So on the Friday, she was born on a Saturday. On the Friday, I actually went to have an appointment. I went to go get something called Boeing therapy. So that was actually suggested to me to get. I was actually meant to get it way before, but I was very last minute. There was a lot going on this pregnancy. So I got it done the day before I gave birth, which I didn't know was going to happen. So from that day, I remember my Braxton Hicks day intensified. Like, it was like, wow. So I actually got the comb out. I was using the comb from that day. Got in the car. My fiance was driving, using the comb, pressing it, and just trying to breathe. Because even to that appointment, it was really painful. Got home and it was like, the Braxton Hicks just intensified. And again, I don't know if it's because second time round, things just felt different. But I really genuinely feel like they could have been contractions, but they felt simple. And I was probably in very early labor. So that evening, it cranked up even more to the point where I said to my fiance, I think these are contractions because they feel super, super tight. I had a very normal evening like I normally do, but just had to distract myself on the ball, watched a bit of TV, just made sure I was nourishing myself and also hydrating myself as well. So yeah, that evening I tried to get some sleep and I could not. I think I slept the most for about 2 hours and I kept waking up, just could feel the tightenings. I was like, this is real contractions right now. So again, was just using the comb. I think that the comb was like the only thing I used in the beginning. And I swear by that, it helped so, so much just to take away that distraction as well. And the like uncomfortability as well. So I think about 5 a.m. things started to really kick up. So we called our birth keeper. And before that, I actually just really was relaxing and chilling out. I was on the toilet, the lovely dilation station, which, oh my gosh, again, was amazing for me. I probably was on that through most beginning of the labor. I also used TENS machine.
Well, just sitting on the toilet?
Yeah, backwards. I had two pillows. I had one on my belly. And I had one just so I could rest my head. Yeah, sitting on a toilet with the comb, of course. I had little tea lights, actually, because I purchased that before. Tea lights in my bathroom as well. And yeah, then I decided to put the TENS machine on because I could feel everything intensifying. And that was actually my first time using a TENS machine. I actually didn't use it with my son. I didn't really know much about either. So that was the first time I used it. And yeah, again, I was impressed. It did feel a bit strange at first, but when I kind of got used to it and, you know, breathing with it, it really, really helped. I was, of course, breathing. And that's, yeah, where you come in as well, Poppy. And you, yeah, using Pop That Mama, using the birth box was amazing for me. And as well, hypnobirthing actually was something that I've never done as well. I'm actually a yoga teacher and a meditation teacher, but hypnobirthing was so different. Like, I know how to breathe, but hypnobirthing for me was really different. And your course, just, it was honestly just doing the course, I loved every single bit of it. So throughout, you know, the laboring process, I was doing some of the breathing techniques. Couldn't do everything because there's a lot going on in labor, but doing what I...
And now for a very quick pause to thank our amazing sponsors for Pop That Vest, Mamma Mio, the pregnancy experts. As you all know, the event is taking place in London on Saturday, the 3rd of February, and it is completely sold out. Can you believe it? But don't you worry, because we have just launched two virtual events, one in March and one in April, and there will also be another in-person one coming soon. So make sure you stay up to date on the link in the description. For anyone that wants to buy anything from Mamma Mio, you may use my discount code POPTHAT. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
But most of the beginning of like my labor was, yeah, very, very quiet, very just silent, because I feel like I was really concentrating on the pain and seeing pain not as a scary thing. That's something, again, that I really, really made sure that I wanted to do different. And I viewed pain very different with this birth, especially because I had an unmedicated birth as well. So yeah, so on the toilet, our birth keeper came, and our birth keeper was actually Kemi Johnson. Amazing.
No way. Was she there?
Yeah, she was there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Amazing force. And I adore her. I adore her so, so much. So she came in, and when she came in, I actually heard her. But again, if you know Kemi, you know her amazing work. She does not bother you. She does not get involved. So I could hear her and she could hear me just like making noise, breathing, but she was like, she just left me. And I loved that about her. I just loved her throughout my entire birth. It was supportive.
Isn't it interesting as to how one can be there but not do anything, but they're still there. Honestly, and if they weren't
It made sense. You know, I've heard Kemi speak about her work and but to actually be in it and actually experience it was like, yeah, like you're amazing. And it's, again, because birth is so physiological, it's like, there's not much that needs to be done. The support is always there, you know. In so many ways, we can be supportive.
That's so cool. Oh, wow. Yeah. on one of my podcasts, I was just literally like, yeah, talking about if I was to have someone, it would be her. Yeah. But I'm kind of still kind of deciding what to do with this birth. But yeah. Carry on.
So she came in again. She was, just in the front room. So I think I eventually came out. So I had a birth pool as well, which again, first time using a birth. Everything was a first for this birth, but it was a beautiful first. So I had my birth pool, and yeah, my fiance actually set that up. I think it's funny because he actually set that up the day before, and again, didn't know he was going to have the baby the next day. So it was like setting the pool up twice in like less than 48 hours, but it worked. So yeah, the pool was ready. He set it up for me. I jumped in the pool. I was actually in the pool for most of my labor. I think there was only one point where I got up. I then went back down because I was like, oh, I can feel a contraction. But then eventually, I think nearer to the end, I did come out. So yeah, the pool was heaven. Again, just took away that, oh, like the contractions, like just having the warmth on my body.
Really? Because you know, the thing, I'm a bit like, I don't know. Now you're saying this, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have a pool. But so it didn't, did it? You didn't find it slowed contractions down? Did you feel like you could still be mobile?
Did you feel
grounded?
So I was the same for it. So myself and my fiance was kind of, I'm in an R-ring because we have a bath. So we thought maybe the bath could work. And it also, I guess this birth, I wasn't too bothered where I gave birth, whether that was on land or in a pool. And even having the pool, because it was my first time giving birth vaginally, I wanted it just to be there just in case, you know, because I just thought to myself, I might give birth in a pool, I might not. And if I don't, it's okay. I feel like it was a needed thing to be there, especially as I was, you know, preparing for my HVAC at home. And I'm happy I done it. It was great because that's where she was born. So yeah, so most of my labor was in the pool, and my birth room, the main room that we used, was actually my front room. So I had all like space lights on the ceiling, which really just set the mood. Again, I had like my scents and my smells in the room. I had music. We had Alexa, so I could just be like, Alexa, play this playlist, which was great. And yeah, I had, you know, my fiance there just helping with the contractions. The comb was being used in the pool, all throughout the pool. And it just, yeah, the water was getting filled up and it just helped. And I think, again, just breathing. There was even one point actually that I vividly remember. I don't know why. I think Annamel was like, do I look silly doing this? But I guess when you're in labor, you really couldn't care less how you look. But there was a breathing technique, and I actually learned it from you, Poppy. So it was the J breath. I'm sure it's called the J breath. So I was actually doing that with my finger. I remember it so vividly. I remember a lot of this labor, but that point, I don't know why, but I just remember just writing the letter J, really nice big J, and just breathing with it. So again, the water for me just allowed me to breathe even deeper. It allowed me to relax as well. I moved a lot. That pool really got used. I was moving so, so much. So yeah, that was like in the early hours from 5. My son actually then woke up. And I guess this birth, I actually wanted him to be there. I was kind of like, if he's not there, he's not there. But if he is, like, it's okay.
Had you prepped him before mentally?
Yes. So he's actually been watching home birth videos with me for a very long time. So yeah, he knows where babies come from. He's seen it. Amazing. He knows about home births, which is amazing. So, but again, because I've never done it, I didn't know how he would be in the moment. But yeah, he woke up and he woke up about half eight o'clock, maybe just before. His dad, funny enough, put him in like a whole swimsuit. I laugh to this day because he had his like vest on and trunks. I'm like, okay, he went swimming because that was all he wanted to do. He just cared about the pool. He didn't care about me and the birth. He cared about,
oh my god, that's hilarious. And you say he's 4?
He's going to be 4 literally next week. Yeah, he's going to be 4 next week. Yeah.
That's so cool. That's literally going to be my age gap too. Yeah. Oh my god, this is music to my ears because I'm just literally thinking about Juniper being there. So yeah, carry on.
Yeah. And if is it you've got a daughter?
Yeah. So she loves home birth. She loves videos of birth, videos, and doesn't have any fear at all. She was like, I have to watch the baby come out. Yeah, 100%.
No, she'll be fine. Down. I'm telling you, she'll be fine. And that's the joy. When my son woke up, I was fine. I was having contractions. He came in the pool. He was like rubbing my back. I have videos of him rubbing my back, putting water on my back. He was just so relaxed. I even had toast, which my fiance made for me. I think I had like 2 and then he ate the rest. he was just so involved, and he knew what was going on. So yeah. So from that moment, the contractions were getting even more intense. I feel like from that moment as well, I knew that the baby was coming. I could, again, because this was my first time, I could just feel things happening. And the beautiful thing about this pregnancy, because I looked at it so differently, I didn't once ask to hear baby. that wasn't even on my mind. I didn't once ask to see or ask how dilated I am, because it, like, those things just wasn't on my mind. And I,
so who's in the room at the moment? At the moment,
so in the room was my son, my fiance, and Kemi. Yeah, and so Kemi was in and out doing her thing, because we know how she is, how she works. So there was moments where she was in, moments where she was out, but we were just left really.
And no NHS, no plan to.
Nope.
Oh, so wow.
And I wanted it that way because it's my legal right. And that's something as well that I learnt and understood. And I feel like that as well really allowed me to have, especially that birth where I just wanted to reclaim my power back, you know. I really wanted it to be really different, and it was, you know. So yeah, so
things just got different.
Things just, yeah, like transition was hitting, and I could feel. But again, that was in my mind until this day. I'm like, why didn't I ask? But I guess it's just the journey I was on. I just, those things for me at that moment wasn't important. I could feel my womb opening. I created an affirmation board with like a notice board. So I had pictures of myself and my family, a little picture that my son created of a son. I had affirmations. So I was having that read out to me, music, listening to a lot of gospel and worship music as well. Yeah, just talking to myself, just telling myself that I can do it, allowing myself to open up. I was saying that open, relax, because I could feel it, a lot of visualizations throughout this whole entire pregnancy or my healing. I done a lot of, you know, looking at other people, especially home births, because I knew that was the birth I intended to have one day. And, you know, all of the home births that I watched, just, it was like I was getting flashbacks of myself and my fiance actually watched Orgasmic Birth. I don't know if you've watched that before, Poppy.
Yeah.
Amazing film. I suggest everyone watch that. We watched that like 4 days before. I've watched that about 10 times. It's like probably one of my favorites. It's very old, but I just love how original it is. So we watched that, and there was actually one specific like YouTube video that I think I watched the day before, where this lady, fourth baby, having a F back at home. So her and her hubby, the baby was literally chilling out of, the baby's head was out, a good 10 minutes in the water, and I was just watching her like, this woman is amazing, you know. And I don't know, I was just getting so much flashbacks of like women, and maybe throughout that week that I was kind of like watching, just in their birthing power. There was actually a book that I read called 10 Moons by Jane Hawkins. I might be pronouncing her same surname wrong, but she's amazing. And I read that book throughout my pregnancy, and there's a chapter in that book that talks a lot about the power of visualization. So visualization, I feel this pregnancy really just helped. Everything helped, but that really just like, wow, I was able to just see my daughter, just my baby coming out, you know, and just trust in my body. So I created this visual image where I was by like a river. My family are from St. Lucia, which is in the West Indies. So I had this vision of like, we have many waters, many rivers and seas in St. Lucia. I had this like vision of like, you know, my ancestors, like just being free by the river, like with their children, people giving birth. And that kept coming up. And of course, just beautiful visual images that I saw of birth, of people giving birth at home as well. So
such a visual
moments,
journey.
Yeah
Do you think also because it sounds like you no one was fussing with you, no one was like I'm not hearing any sort of fussing around you, and that kind of I guess enables you to go into this deep place within yourself and but create mental images. If you had someone going, oh, you're breathing amazing, or oh, you just you know, do this or that, they would be cutting into this experience. So yeah, it's amazing to hear.
As you described, Poppy, I had none of that, and I truly believe that really helped. And that's the birth I wanted. I didn't want any word telling, let's check you, let's do this. I just felt like it will happen. And because I could feel it happening, it was like, you know, I just knew it was happening. You know, I just had beautiful, beautiful people around me. I had words of affirmation around me. And there was actually, Kemi actually was repeatedly saying a few times to me, like, you're going to meet your baby today. And I remember her saying that, I'm thinking, am I? Like, because of the birth I had with my son, it was like 4 days long. It was just torture. I was in pain. I was a mess, tired, emotional. But for her to say that during that birth was, and because I could feel my baby like going in the birth canal, it was like, I actually am going to meet this baby in a few hours. So again, the last hour before my daughter came, so she was born at 12:11. It was the same atmosphere, curtains were shut. Although I could see a little bit of daylight, everything was just dark. I actually got into transition. And you know, when you're in transition, it comes with, I don't think I can do this. I did have a moment. And I feel like most pregnant, especially when you're at the very end, it does get like that. And it's just a natural response to say, a natural word to say, I guess. But I had to remind myself that I could do it. And of course, I had words of amazing affirmation around me. So, about an hour came in and she was actually born in her sack. So, Whoa. Yeah, that was interesting as well. Yeah. So she was actually born in her sack. So a little piece of it came up before. So I could feed it. And I was like,
so different to the first.
Yes. So different. I was like, is that a head? They were like, no, that's actually your baby sack. So then when I heard it, I was like, wow, she's at, like, this baby's actually like here. They're just behind it, you know? So that for me was like an even more like, wow, like, you're so close. Like, if you cannot, you have prayed for this, you have cried for this moment, and your baby's going to be here very, very soon. And again, just patience. I was eating as well. I made little, date cashew kind of snacks just to give me a boost of energy. I was drinking like water. I had a mixture of coconut water and orange juice, which was amazing, nice and cold, just things to like elevate me and give me energy for that last push. And I feel like when I had those implements, they really, really helped. So the last bit and the clip that most of you all listeners have maybe seen was the clip just before she came out. So before that, my fiance got in the water. And again, I feel like that was the best decision because, yeah, I feel like it would have been fine with him out, but it was just another boost, mm-hmm. another push, another like encouragement and even more oxytocin around us as well.
Did you actively push?
So I could actually feel her drop it. So again, till this day, I pushed a little bit, but again, I feel like she just came out. I feel like she just allowed herself out.
So maybe you experienced like, the ejection reflex,
yes,
when your body does it.
I feel like I did. But because I was in water as well, I feel like the water kind of took, not the feeling away, but you know when you're in water, so I could feel her, but the water just made it so much easier. So it didn't even feel like I was pushing. It honestly just felt like she just slipped out. So yeah, so wow. She was making her way down. Her head was there. And we've got a part of the video. I might share it, but... one of these days, my fiance was like, he started screaming, yes, like just of joy because he could actually feel her head. So I was like on top of him, but kind of on my all four. So I was upright because I wanted to give birth like that. And he was just supporting me because I was like putting all of my weight on him and just like, you know, allowing myself to ground down. So yeah, that video, when I see that little clip where he's like smiling and saying like, the baby's there, I can feel the baby's head. I was, again, wow. Just like, okay, we are nearly, nearly there. And also just before she came, I had a moment of crying, which, again, is very normal when you are giving birth. Emotions help, you know, to allow baby out. And I think I just was so emotional because I could feel her. I could actually feel it. Yes, it was uncomfortable, not the greatest pain. Childbirth is not the greatest pain. But in that moment, I was like, this is a bearable pain and I'm not going to feel this forever, you know. So yeah, my fiance caught her. Yeah, he caught her, brought her to me. My son then jumped in the pool. Till this day, no one actually helped him, Poppy. He just tells us he climbed on the sofa, climbed on the edge and jumped in the pool. No one helped him. No one helped this little boy get in the pool. He just used his own mind to come in. And even that moment, I'm like, he saw his baby sister being born, which was so beautiful and so healing. So yeah, he popped in just after she was born. And we had, from the video, a beautiful family moment together. My fiance, yeah, saw what the baby was. He was like, it's a girl. And that was a shock. So in the video as well. So yeah, where I'm from is in St. Lucia. So I actually can speak another language, which is St. Lucian Creole. So Tiffy Mwe means like my daughter. So Tiffy is like a very young child, but a girl child. So in the video, you might have heard me say, it's a Tiffy Mwe. I just said, it's a girl, it's my daughter. So even in that moment, realizing what this baby was, I was like, oh my goodness, this is surreal, you know, especially because I have a boy and now I had a girl, you know. So yeah, she came out and we had that beautiful moment just in the pool, just relaxing together. I then came out of the pool very slowly and gently. I felt fine. I was, shaking a little bit again.
And the placenta?
So yeah, my placenta, I gave birth to it on my sofa. So yeah, gave birth to it on my sofa. And that as well was such a beautiful moment because again, I had never experienced like giving birth to a placenta, nor have I even seen a placenta. I didn't see my son's placenta when he was born. So that was, really interesting. Even that was just like a really healing moment. We left us connected for a few hours. We had a beautiful, little ceremony in my bedroom. We cut
the cord. How long did it take to get the placenta out then? As in like from the moment?
Yeah, I would say less than an hour. I don't know the correct minutes, but about an hour. Within an hour, it was out. Within an hour. Wasn't too long. So yeah, the placenta came out really simply actually, but I could kind of feel it, I guess, coming away. I could feel it coming away. But yeah. So we was, gave birth to the placenta, chilled. It was so nice to be at home. I think that was the joys of having this birth, just to be in my space. Yeah, we had a little bit of a like ceremony afterwards, just where we cut it. Cut the cord. My son was there. He got to experience that as well. And see the placenta as well. And we kind of explained to him what it is and the amazing powers of it as well. And after that, I could say I just relaxed in my home. I, having a baby, there's not much to do, but I just rested. I rested in my home. I had food. I was able to relax. And we just had a peaceful day afterwards. It was like, even when I think about it now, I'm just like, it was so simple, so basic, but just so, the process of just having my baby at home for me was just so much easier. And I felt so much safer in so many ways. And I wouldn't have wanted it any other way, especially because of the experience I had in the beginning, you know. So I had my daughter, and just that was my home birth, just a peaceful peaceful home birth, with just being at peace, being undisturbed, being safe, feeling safe in so many ways, just feeling that. And I think by the end of it, I was like, it was kind of like a shock, like, oh my gosh, I actually just done this. But also like a relief, like, you actually just done this and you're amazing. And you just gave birth vaginally for the first time ever and everything was fine. And also I had no tearing. That was another thing that I guess I wasn't worried about. But, you know, you hear stories and you hear people talk about the experience. And again, because I looked at pain differently, I said, if I do tear, it's okay. It's a natural thing. It will heal, you know. Nothing bad is going to happen to me. So again, did have that in the back of my mind, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I don't want to tear, you know. I had no tears and I felt fine. I felt absolutely fine. And it was, just the most healing birth healing thing that I've ever gone through. And it's truly changed me. It's allowed me now to just trust myself even more. I feel like I'm, you know, when you give birth, how many babies you have, we are always being reborn as mums, you know. And for me, this birth has really taught me about my power, like my inner power, inside and out, and just like what I'm capable of. Because if I didn't believe in myself and my abilities, this birth would have never happened, you know. And I'm just grateful for the path that I've gone through, because again, even though it was so painful, having a very unnecessary C-section, like, you know, but it needed to happen, because it's landed me here. It's allowed me to meet and connect with beautiful souls and just learn that birth worked and heal generations after me. And the beautiful thing, I had a daughter, which one day will have, you know, babies. So for me, it's even more powerful. And also to have my son there to see how birth unfolds, like when it's left alone, we have no one disturbing you, when you're at peace, you know. So yeah, it was a healing, magical day to have my daughter, and I truly feel very, very blessed. So yeah, to experience that, you know, after all this time, all this work I've done, you know, I'm still on the healing journey, but I have really managed to unlock a part of me that I never thought existed ever, ever. And to give birth vaginally is powerful at home, you know? Yeah. It's amazing, amazing.
When you sent through, so I think it was like on TikTok, you commented, then I figured out who you were, then I saw that clip that you had shared on your social media. And I remember looking at that clip and going, oh my word. It was the combination of you guys in the pool, but then the words that you had chosen to put over the video. And I knew, I was like, I have to hear this story, because I could feel it from the visuals. But just sat here listening to you share this whole story, and I can hear in your voice like what this means to you and what it's done for you, and like it almost reminds me of me after my birth, and that same transformation, although we walked very different paths, and it leaves you with like this renewed sense of self and this energy that you almost feel like, well, I felt like this and that's why I'm doing this work, but you want to do something with it, or you want to share, or you want to, you know, you want to kind of give birth to this thing. Like, well, you've just done it by being on the podcast. You are going to enable people to have hope who have had previous challenging births, and you have demonstrated that it is possible, and with the right tools. You spent a long time working on yourself and going through that healing and curating your birth team with the people that can help you to have the experience that you deserve, and you did it. You drove that forward. You visualized it. So you should feel so proud of yourself and bask in this feeling. And yeah, just big shout out to Kemi. I don't know if she's going to listen to this, but I literally, when you said Kemi, I was like, oh, yes. my whole body was bouncing and beaming, because I just know that what she would have done there for you is not something that many people could do, you know. And that's just presence and conviction and confidence that she would have, you know, and then like not fussing over you and just letting you go through your unique journey of healing is just so powerful. I'm actually so inspired by this. like your birth is pretty much what I want to have for this next one. So
and you will whatever your choice is, you will. And I just always say, like, trust, because, you know, when I share, especially that video, had a lot of people like reach out to me and be like, you know, that's really inspiring. A lot of people that actually have had the same birth like me, and, you know, they're having their second now, and they're like, you know, I want to have a VBAC, I want to have a HBAC, I want to have an FBAC. I actually want to experience that, what you had. And I've led them into direction, like shared some stuff. You know, I'm not an expert, but all I can do is like just give tips and just say the only thing that I feel like we need to do is just trust ourselves, you know, trust our journeys that we're on and the path that we want for like pregnancy, birth, labor, and postpartum, which is very important as well. So yeah, just trust yourself on the journey, but you will be absolutely fine. You'll be fine.
I'm feeling pretty confident, to be honest. My plan is to just treat it like another day and just allow it to flow, kind of like how you did. I'm undecided about the kind of support I need, but I've got this sneaky feeling that I'm just going to troop through the majority of it alone. Because, you know, that's kind of what I did last time, and it worked. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sensitive to other people and energies, but But you're... Goodness gracious, this story is going to stay with me. I can feel it. It's going to and you just know that tonight I'm going to be having like thoughts about you birthing your placenta on the sofa and getting inspired for birthing my placenta on the sofa. I love it. I love that you've stood in your power and you've had this amazing healing birth. It's just so inspiring. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Poppy. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I really hope, anyone listening just takes my words in, my story, and yeah, just trust yourself, especially also first-time mamas, because I was a first-time mama who didn't know anything. And I truly believe it's just really important to understand yourself and also to understand the power of birth, because birth truly works. It truly works. So, yeah, but thank you. Lovely. It's been a pleasure.
Lovely. And I'll also leave Kemi's handle on the in the show notes, just in case people want to follow her page. Obviously she inspired a lot of your journey, and I don't know if she's going to be probably booked up with her birth keeping stuff, but I'll plug her below.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Love.
Thank you.